Ephesians. I had the roughest time finding a title for all this, but I think we can just boil it down to a Christian husband's responsibility is what I've... And we might end up going two parts on this because there's so much to cover. But the main passage is Ephesians 5, 25 through 33. We're going to look at 1 Peter 3:7. We're going to look at Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 through 16. John chapter 15. Verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And then the steamiest book of the Bible, Song of Solomon. Chapter 4, verse 7. And then we're going to take it all the way back to this when it started. Genesis, chapter 2, verses 21 through 25.
Could you tell me what was first Peter?
The one up the third, 3:7.
Thank you.
Okay. So Genesis 2, 21 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 to 20. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. And I've got Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 12 as a reference. It's the same account between Matthew and Mark. So we just leave that for y'all to look at on your own, but I want you to look at it in parallel because each gospel is whether it's the same account, but there's a little bit of difference in there just to give you better clarity on the subject. Okay? And finally, 1 Kings, chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. So, being a somewhat studious guy, and my love for listening to other pastors, I want you to write down an acronym, okay? And this is going to flow through all of this passage. And being the Calvinist that I am, I borrow from Pastor Alistair Begg. And you know the doctrines of grace, we talk about it enough, TULIP. So the acronym is TULIPS. Not TWOLIPS. TUP. I mean, TULIPS. I can't even spell. TULIPS. T standing for theology. U standing for unity. L is loyalty. I is intimacy. P is priority. And S is sanctity. Now, this is clever and this is outside of, this is one man's breakdown on the passage. I found it most helpful because there's a lot that Paul is saying here in regards to how husbands are to treat their wives. So, with a lot to cover, let's dive in. We're going to read through the whole passage in Ephesians, and then we're going to go back and we're going to break it down. Okay? So, starting in chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, reading what I read last week and this week, you pull that all together for context. Here he is closing out in verse 33. He's not... I separated it because I wanted to talk intentionally to the women, and I want to talk intentionally to the men and the young men that we have here. So, here we go. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Look at 1 Peter 3:7. Scripture informing scripture. We went through the first part of this last week with 1 through 6. But look here at what he says in 7. "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." And you know, we talked about the creative order last week. We talked about the overarching design that God has for us. Christ is king, the husband, or man, woman, children. Here Peter's just breaking it down a bit further. We know, when going back to Genesis chapter 3 last week, how in the fall, because of the fall, woman's desire would be the place of her husband, but he was going to rule over her. Now, as I jokingly said last week, the start of every argument known to man was found in that passage. We find that borne out in society today. Modern feminism movement. We see it, Todd. That the men are vacating the places that God called them to be. For what? We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want to offend nobody. I'm getting to where I hate that. says very plainly in the Bible that to lost, wicked men, the cross is an offense. It's a stumbling block. So why do men who claim Christ act like something other than what they were called to be? But here we are. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Not pointing at her and saying, you're the weaker vessel, but showing honor to them as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You can't run roughshod over your spouse and expect your prayer to be heard. Why are they heirs with you in the grace of life? Because God deemed it so. All the way back when he put Adam in the deep sleep and pulled the rib from him and fashioned woman out of man. Yet we argue, fuss, and fight for place. God's already ordained that place. And when we honor that structure, well, husband, you will get the honor you deserve, and wife, you will get the honor that you deserve. Not saying that us as fallen people, that's always going to work out perfectly, because a lot of us like to get our butts on our shoulders for different various reasons. But this is the way it should be. So flip back with me to Ephesians for verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Now, in the acronym I gave you, very first word, theology. Men, we're to be masterful in our studies of the scripture. This is not saying that a woman can't be just as studious as a man. It's not saying that at all. But when our heads are not studied up and our hearts are not studied up in the Word of God, what's your response going to be? It's going to come from the flesh. It's not going to come from a place it needs to come from. Not in loving the way God called us to love. We're to continually wash over our wives with Scripture. That's not just praying for her. That's speaking the truths of Scripture to your wife, to your spouse. Here's where that comes into play. What's the worst problem for men and women today? Self-image. Self-image. If you're not Photoshop painted up on a magazine cover, you're not fit of honor. You're not fit of respect. It's not what the Bible tells me. But we treat it that way. We're visual people. And if we're not geared down in the Word of God, then what the world tells us is beautiful, in our fallen state, we'll find is beautiful. But when God tells you what is beautiful, we went through Proverbs 31. That's the true beauty. And when you come with it, when you have studied God's word and you have a rich theology, the common things become way more beautiful. What the world would say is common becomes glorious. It really does. When it says in Romans that nature itself tells us that he is there. What Paul is saying here is that husbands, even though your wife might read the Bible every day, you need to be right there alongside of her. And you need to be washing her with the word. How that plays out. This is what Paul's doing here is making a comparison. Christ is our example. What is Christ doing for his church? He's sanctifying his church. He's washing over the church with his word. Jesus himself often used the bridegroom-bride comparison when it came to himself and his church. We find it when we take our vows before God, I don't think we were bride and bride standing there, or bridegroom and bride. And we have to take our place. We have to know. We need to be studious. We need to understand the differences of what the world is feeding, trying to feed you, and replacing it with the meat of the Word of God. Why can't anybody stand for the truth today? Because nobody knows. Our minds are filled with childish things. Immature, greedy, lustful. That's not love. That's not being mature. That's not being a man. A biblical man practices, has control of his emotions. He's not pulled by the ring in his nose every which way the world wants to take him. Lust doesn't overtake him. Anger does not overtake him to where he acts in an ungodly manner. Pride has to be killed. Often we find in studies of divorced couples, there's an issue of pride that is set up where neither one can say the simple word, sorry. We have to get past this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Pay attention. Gave himself up for her. A man sacrifices. And in fact, we were built for it. And what's got the world upside down? Society is asking women to fulfill the same role as a man. That ought not ever be. In fact, Jesus himself said, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay his life down for his friends. Who's your closest friend? Husband? Better be your wife. It has to be. It's what God ordained. We don't talk about these things. We don't talk about them enough. Give ourselves up? Why do we want? wash over our wives with the word of God. Same reason Jesus does it for the church. So that he may present the church to himself in splendor. In splendor. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That she might be holy and without blemish. And it goes without saying, you look at modern culture. People shacking up instead of getting married. Avoiding marriage at all costs and running games on one another. Sorry. You might think you're finding fulfillment there. But all you're going to be is an empty shell of a human being with no concept of love, gratitude, mercy. You won't know such things. So that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So, before we go here, what do we know about God and how he feels over his bride? Well, he says so. He says he yearns jealously over it. And he hates the wickedness that's within it. He wants to purge it out. You want to know what, you want to know where he says that? Just flip back to Isaiah. And we pounded those scriptures down. But the same comparison with how the temple was profaned. How was the church profaned? By not living holy. By men and women rejecting the God-given roles that he gave them. So here we are, chapter 11, starting in verse 2. And this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth, right? So he says, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." How that plays out in a man's life. Your devotion to the study of God's word and your relationship with God is directly going to play out in how you deal with others. More importantly, who you deal with on a daily basis, your wives. There should be a divine jealousy there for the things that matter to God. When the devil tries to creep in, you take your sword and you cut the serpent's head off. But that purity in marriage is of utmost importance. We don't look at it that way, right? As long as I get what I want, I'm okay. And the other person, if the other person has that attitude, as long as I get what I want, I'm okay. Why is the divorce rate 50% in the church? Because people want their own way. They won't put themselves under the weight of Scripture and what God commands of us. There's no mercy anymore. There's no forgiveness anymore. When we look just like society, mercy, grace, forgiveness, where is it? We've trampled it. And we've put ourselves in the place of God. We've immediately trying, we're like Satan himself, trying to usurp the throne. Turn to right back to Ephesians in chapter 1, which we covered earlier. So in verses 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Why is he washing over his bride? Why is he sanctifying her in word and truth? The same reason Jesus himself came and did what he did. Don't you know that the love of Christ should be the outflow of every Christian home? First husband to wife, but then parent to child. Then a godly husband and wife. That love of Christ marks to the flows out to the extended family as well on both sides. Because they are honoring God as God commands them. That you depart mother and father, you cleave to one another, the two become one flesh. When you do things opposite of that, I can tell you from experience, things get twisted up. Happiness, joy, not there. The one thing that you thought was keeping you together is going to be the very thing that drives you apart. Because as long as we look on the outside, these frail, crumbling bodies that we have, if we don't know what godly love is, then the looks fade, right? Those emotions fade. Marriage in itself, it's a battlefield, man. I'm telling you, especially when kids enter the mix. Be honest with yourselves. How much time do you spend with one another? How much of the world creeps into your everyday lives? How much time is devoted to your spouse versus your children? Flesh thing starting to look like two flesh thing, huh? We have to bring ourselves to bear under the weight of this. Men fail, women fail. You can't just keep pointing the finger at the opposite sex. Own your responsibility. And at the end of the day, who you're accountable to is God himself. and your spouse. And I want to get you to turn there. Really, what a wife should feel from her husband. Every day, because Christ looks at his church the same way, at the fumbling church. The ones that just can't get it right. The grace, the boundless grace and mercy is given us day to day. Husbands, wives, this should be flowing back and forth between the two of you. And there should never be a point when you just don't wash over your wife as Solomon washed over his bride, saying in 4:7, "You are all together beautiful, my love. And there is no flaw in you." You should feel that. That's the same way Jesus Christ feels about his church. And we can't get it straight in the home. We'll never get it straight in the church. Why are we called hypocrites on the regular? Because we can't even love right. We can't honor one another right. What makes you think that if you can't get it straight in the physical, that you're ever going to get it right heavenly? It's only by a devotion to Christ that these things happen. Turn with me to Genesis 2. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Same thing echoed in the creation. It didn't change all the way here in Ephesians as God's planting the church in his new covenant. Did not change. Right there in verse 31, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Hold fast. That's not... That's G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. Hold fast. Yet today, most men treat women like an object, sometimes less than an object. We need to talk about these hard conversations. We need to raise our children to expect the same godly love that I have for my wife. My kids should yearn for the same. To not be filled with the emptiness that the world has to offer. That you find wholeness in your spouse as you honor Jesus Christ. And that same matter, the same picture that Paul paints here in Ephesians is Christ yearning jealously over his church, washing over his church, purifying his church so he can present her to himself without wrinkle, spot, blemish. And then turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Ago, but man, does it hit home when you read through this passage, the passage in Ephesians. It says, starting in verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take then the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. I don't think about it. Never. Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Hear that again. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. The things that offends my God offends me. The things that anger my Father angers me. And the things that my Father loves, I love with all my heart. So flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Oh man, the weight of that as I read how God expects me to treat my wife. I'm not going to look at stuff on TV that is going to defile me or degrade my wife. I'm not going to listen to music that defiles or degrades my wife. I'm not going to act in a manner unworthy of holding her hand. Because he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Is there a massive weight in the room? You have families across America that think it's okay for their child to go and shack up with a significant other, not knowing the damage
that comes from that. The absolute emotional damage that comes from that. God wasn't playing when he sent his son. Jesus wasn't playing in his ministry. Jesus wasn't playing when he laid himself down on that cross. You know how I know that? Because the testimony of the apostles that came after, they didn't do it either. So I can have confidence that if I hold fast to the word of God, that I honor him in all that I do, when the world comes at me to beat me down and kill me. So, I'm going to speak the truth, no matter what they say. I don't care if it's unpopular. I will stand for the respect of my wife, for the respect of my church. I will stand for the respect of my children. And I will put that line in the sand. Don't cross it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" And he answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Not male and male. Not female and female. Male and female. And said, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So God said it in the beginning. The Son said it while he was here on earth. And then you flip to Ephesians and you find the very same thing. That my God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. I can trust him. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, here's the hard one. It's covered in scripture, being married to an unbeliever. It's going to be a struggle. Why should we be careful when we choose a spouse? Be not equally yoked. If the convictions are not the same, then you will have trouble the whole way through. The two are one. What that means for me? We have a common goal. We have common views. Our heart is given to the very same Savior.
not. I like the idea of Jesus, but I will not dishonor my Jesus, my Savior. That level. The two shall be one. So husbands, you can't go partying with dudes, and a wife go partying with your girls. Nothing wrong with that, getting out and away from one another. There's nothing wrong with that. If the mindset is right. But I can tell you what happens when the mindset is wrong. When one or the other is left at home and you're doing your own thing. This is being honest, right here. What do? You worry. What do you worry about the most? Faithfulness. Judging by the culture today. Oh, yeah. But there should not be a doubt in my wife's mind when I leave the home to go do anything. She ain't got to worry about me looking to the left or the right. Same thing for the wife. Why? Same goal. Same focus. File each other, and ultimately, we're not going to defile our Lord and Savior, as it said in 1 Corinthians. Honor. That's a word we really torn the meaning out of. What it is to honor someone. Keep going. So that they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? And he said to them, because of your hardness of heart. Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so. But from the beginning, it was not so. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. If we're in Christ, we're a new creation. As was prophesied in the prophet Ezekiel, I will take out the heart of stone, and I will give you the heart of flesh. Did you make that tie? Because it's there. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. That's a deep one right there, huh? Kind of nixes out when we just couldn't get along. Or I felt like I don't know him anymore. I don't know her anymore. You know those same excuses are uttered by divorced people in churches across this nation. Be careful. Careful whom you choose. And Mark gives us the similar account. We won't turn there, but I want you to see in what we've covered by way of scripture, how that acronym fits. It fits on every level. How do we honor him?
Well, obey his commandments.
How do we know his commandments? The study of God. Theology. If we're not getting into the scripture daily, we should be worried.
I'm being honest with you here.
We should worry. Because that's the sign of a drift. Unity. We're all one in Christ. Two shall become one flesh. You don't marry what is holy to what is unholy. Loyalty. Above all, loyalty. We don't know what that means anymore in society. We need to learn that word again and all that it entails. Loyalty is important in marriage. Married folks will testify to that. Loyalty is everything. And not only your allegiance to one another, but your allegiance to him. Intimacy. You can't have intimacy on the physical act. Just the physical act. That's not intimacy. That's a little girl and a boy who shaves, working off of raw emotion, confusing lust for love. And I say that you see it today. If you're not going to be you can study theology all you want to. You can study God all you want to, unless it makes an impact here. Head knowledge without heart knowledge gives you nothing at the end of the day. Just a full fat head. It has to impact the heart. Intimacy is knowledge of the heart. We know what makes each other tick. Intimacy with God, same. How do I know that? So they wouldn't draw the parallel lines in Scripture between our relationship with the Almighty and our relationship husband to wife. And we honor. We know what we think of, we know, not only know what we think of each other on a very deep level, but the greater intimacy grows. There's things that happen that it's almost not out of forced action. It just happens, right? How you greet one another in the morning, to how you eat your meals together, your study life, how you go to bed at night. How can you know what either one likes without being open? In the simple things. And if we can't get together on the simple things, then any physical act outside of that, you'll never get that right. It's adrenaline rush, testosterone rush, estrogen rush, and that's it. You've made it, you've reduced it down to a biological function. You know what else is a biological function? Crap. Priority. Sorry. Priority. Need to know that outside of God, your spouse comes first. They have to take priority in your life. This is, you don't wash over somebody with a word to present them blameless, spotless, wrinkle-free, without setting a priority on that. Do you know that Jesus, his children, are a priority to him? It says it right here. This is the mirror. We are a priority to him. For those saved, those justified by his blood, those being sanctified and the same thing bears out in the marriage. Husbands, make your wives a priority. World gets in the way. Work gets in the way. Kids get in the way. Stupid hobbies get in the way. What they need to know is that they are a priority. Why does divorce happen? Neither one of you are making each other a priority. There's no, you are altogether beautiful, my love, and there is no flaw in you. There's none of that. Who talks like that? Christian men should. Have to make not only our relationship with God a priority, but if that's when we trip up and get it out of order, God first, then your spouse. There has to be that priority set and that priority understood. And for Christians, it should be well understood. Because what? We're to continually grow in grace. Right? We're to continually grow in the knowledge of his word, of his commands, what he expects of us. We're not continually growing in that process. We're not going to get it right on the other side. It just doesn't work that way. Break it down. The exercise of a professional athlete. Their sole focus is what? Get the ball in the end zone. Put it in a hoop. Hit the ball with a bat. Sole focus. That same type of attitude has to come to your study of God's word. It has to. How can you know that you're in right relationship with him? Unless you study and dutifully live by what he commands. And we're messed up, fallen humans. We're not always going to get it right. But our aim should be this. And our priority above anything else in our lives is the study of the Word of God. Not only individually. Men, women, I'm telling you, get time alone with God. Not only in prayer, but in study. But make sure you study together too. There has to be that time. And that flows out even further. Because that personal responsibility, that ownership, that wanting to know more of God, If it's working within the family, if it's working between husband and wife, well then guess what? The church is going to be, the church is going to feel that too. The church is going to feed on that as well. What we bring in, everybody's coming along on the Bible study. Everybody's getting deeper theologically, having a richer understanding of the Word. But what do we do now? We struggle, we fumble through, we don't commit ourselves. And why don't we commit ourselves? Because we don't commit ourselves at home. Why do we struggle to have Bible study as a church? I'm going to be honest. We need to commit ourselves at home. On the daily. Then when it comes for whatever day we set, then it's a no-brainer. We're in Bible study. Guess what God taught me this week? This is just, it's common sense. It ought to feel like common sense. You know, I was sitting there when we were singing worship, and it brought me to 1 Kings, and it's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. But it's David on his deathbed. You know, we talk about David, the killer of Goliath, the conquering king. And here we have what should be the aim of biblical manhood, of being as God commanded us to be, loving our wives as Christ loved the church. It should be a passing on of that torch to our children, to our daughters, to our sons. In fact, God commands it. He says, teach them my words. In the home, when you're walking down the road, as you're working throughout the day, when you sit down to break bread, He commands this of us. So, look, it's, here's David to his son Solomon. Starting in verse 2 of chapter 2. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. What is that? From dust you were created, and to dust you shall return. He says, be strong. Be strong and show yourself a man. And all that entails. Be strong and show yourself a man. Not acting like a silly girl with a beard, flannel shirts, and tight skinny jeans on, drinking your non-fat soy latte. In fact, if that's how you're going to dress and go and carry yourself, go and shave. In touch with your feminine side is so stupid. Be strong and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in His ways and keeping His statutes, His commandments, His rules, and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. I think we do well to highlight, circle that, and repeat it. Put it on your bathroom mirror if you got to. So that's the first thing you see in the morning. Be strong and show yourself a man. And women, you should go to Song of Solomon 4:7. Circle that, wife, highlight it, and put a bunch of stars on both sides of it. I'm sick and tired of weak-willed, effeminate boys. That number one, don't honor where they come from. But deny the triune God that gets him up every morning. David was a warrior king. Moses himself, to walk 40 years in the desert with a bunch of mumbling, grumbling, that was a warrior right there. Joseph, through all the bad stuff that happened to Joseph, being sold into slavery, being thrown in a well, to be mindful of God, throughout all that mess, honored him, even when as God set him in different places, honored God above all else, and ended up a governor in a land that didn't know Yahweh. So that he was able to deliver his family. He stood up and played the man. To the various prophets, and probably my most famous account of the prophets was Elijah when he called down fire. And he called things as they were. And he looked at those prophets of Baal and he said, what's wrong? Yeah. What's wrong? Maybe he's busy. Yeah. Maybe he's relieving himself. And then he looks up to heaven and he's, for the honor of the triune God of the universe, said that your glory may be seen this day. Bring down fire and consume it all. Stand up. Young men, I'm telling you, there's a vacuum in this nation. For you playing a man, if you got to hear something, a little stupid term like toxic masculinity, they probably need a smack in the face. There's nothing toxic about being a man. In fact, God demands it. And I can give a rip what society says. Because this Bible itself is full of accounts when society tried to dictate to the men of God how to be. And the awful after effects of it. Love is not what the world says it is. It's what the word of God says it is. And here we find it, a beautiful picture, right here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 33. So indulge me if you will. I want to read through the entire passage now that we've handled both sides of the coin. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. What I see playing out in society is we've lost all respect for one another. This individualism, hyper-individualism that's going on, that I just gotta live my truth. It's hogwash. There's not your truth and my truth. There's the truth. And that is it. No other version. Now it's high time for men to speak it. In fact, that high time passed us up. Now we're in emergency mode, right? Stand up, play the man. Honor God, all of his statutes, all of his commandments, and love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for it. You don't talk about a love story? That's the love story. Lord, we thank you for this time to come together to hear your word. Lord, I hope, my prayer is that your word today penetrated hearts, minds, Father. Lord, that we leave here today a little bit different than when we came in. That we live a life that is honoring to you. And Lord, that we show honor to one another. Because we're all part of Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.